Welcome to this edition of the Disciples Men podcast with your hosts Greg Alexander and Alex Ruth. Thank you for joining us as we explore the many challenges of being man of faith in these challenging times. Disciples Men is a ministry of Disciples Home Missions of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in the U.S. and Canada. Let's listen in today's conversation.
Welcome to another edition of the Disciples Men's podcast. Alex Ruth with you, and we are joined this day, this podcast, by Greg Alexander, who is our Director of Disciples Men. Greg, how are you doing today?
Hey, Alex, I'm doing great. Always great to be with you, my friend. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. It's good to be with you as well. We've got some exciting topics today, or at least I think it's an exciting topic. Hopefully, y'all will agree with us on that. We've done a lot of work thus far talking about the basic and underlying principles behind this curriculum that we're producing, this journey that we are going on together called the Jesus Way. So we've talked about patriarchy, we've talked about mature and immature masculine, we've talked about, help me out, Greg, I know there's other things that we've talked about, but I'm forgetting right now.
We've talked about competition.
Ah, yes.
And we've talked about the realm of influence.
Thank you. I knew there were another couple important pieces that slipped my mind. So we've talked about a lot of these topics, but I always like to focus in on some very practical things as well. How does this impact and how does it manifest itself in my life? And so one of the things that that we're going to start with today is talking about how do I, in the church that I go to, begin or revitalize a disciples men group? How do we get disciples men groups functioning and thriving in the churches that we serve and that we attend? And so to kind of begin that, I want to begin with a brief story, which is about my experience here at Marshfield Christian Church, because I believe that it is fairly common among churches that I know, and probably churches throughout our denomination, and probably churches across the board. So when I started serving here, when I came here as the pastor in 2006, we had a men's group. We met about once a month, and that time was primarily, it was a potluck dinner. We'd all bring some food in, and without any planning, sometimes you end up with a lot of desserts or a lot of main dishes or a lot of side dishes, but we brought food in and we enjoyed our time together, even if it was just eating a bunch of cake and pie, maybe especially if it was eating a bunch of cake and pie. And so we would get together, and then quite literally, also true figuratively, some of the older men in the group would pretty much tell war stories. We would sit around, we would fellowship. There wasn't much in the way of spiritual discussion, Bible study, or spiritual development that went on in that group. So over time, most of the younger guys, and by younger I mean somewhere under the age of 60, they just ended up being too busy on those monthly meetings. And as the remaining group got older and their living situations changed, they moved off to care facilities or died, and we celebrated their lives. That group dwindled down until it essentially stopped functioning. It had been a vital group, helping out the church and the community in times of need and serving at meals and things like that. But it just lost its vitality over time as the real stalwart members died and or moved on. Fast forward a few years, and we had this upwelling within the congregation, a desire amongst some of the younger men to restart a disciples men group. And they were keyed in on two things. They were keyed in, one, on doing something that had some spiritual component to it. They wanted to do a Bible study. They wanted to make sure that they were getting something out of the time that they were spending. And two, they wanted to have that fellowship component and a service component within the church. So we did two things. We started back with a Bible study. Again, we met about every other week for a while there. And they also wanted to restart what had been a longstanding tradition. And we had a fish fry that was put on by a couple of the youngest men in the church at the time that were in their young 30s. So that story, I tell you that because I think that is common amongst our churches. We have sometimes these fellowship groups that are going on and on and on, disciples men group, but not really growing and maybe not meeting the needs of everyone within the church. And so, Greg, I'd invite you to talk a little bit about what are some ways that we can help rekindle or create a disciples men group in the church. Somebody who's got a languishing disciples men's group or doesn't have a men's group in their church right now is feeling called to start one, feeling called to revitalize theirs. What are some of the steps that we take? What are some of the things we do to make that a reality?
Well, let me begin responding to you by asking you a question. Let's assume that you aren't pastor of Marshfield Christian Church and that you're a member of, and you're a member of a church, a member of the church, and you get invited to come to a men's fellowship group, and you have to assess the time commitments that are already on your life, job, family, other kinds of commitments. And so you have to do sort of a value-added evaluation of this of this invitation that you've received to be a part of this men's fellowship. So, and I'm asking you personally, I mean, I really want a serious answer, is if you aren't the pastor required to come, what would need to be present to get you to want to come and make that a priority over some of the other commitments in your life?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. For me, it would need to be a group that was really going to help me develop myself spiritually to figure out how I follow Jesus within the context of my life. You know, if I want to know, how do I become a better man, a better follower of Jesus? How do I become a better husband, a better father, a better employee? All those things. I want to come and I really want to have those deep conversations talking about, you know, some of the real pains that I have in my life and the joys that I have in my life as well. And to be able to share that with somebody, with other men specifically, who are on a similar journey.
So you've just given, let's pretend I'm your pastor. I had just asked you that question, and now you just gave me the information I need in order to begin to answer the why question of a men's fellowship group. I don't think that oftentimes we stop and ask why it's important to have a men's fellowship group when the need, when people seem to identify the need for one. Oftentimes, the need is based on oughtness. You know, we have a women's fellowship group. We have our disciples women that are regular and active. Maybe we should have a men's fellowship group that's, you know, that's active just like the women, as a counterpart to the women. Well, oughtness doesn't really generate enthusiasm for men's fellowships. And so an astute pastor would ask people like yourself, you know, and again, ask people from different generational groups, what would it take to get you to come to something like this that you would find of value? Well, you just answered the question, and it's mostly spiritual/leadership development. how to be a better man, how to be a better husband, how to be a better coworker, how to be a better neighbor from a faith-based perspective. And when you stop and think about the historical way we've understood men's fellowship groups, at least the ones that I was always a part of, what were they? Well, they were Saturday morning, once a month, focused on, breakfast, eating breakfast, and then, as you said, swapping war stories. Maybe having a speaker come in to talk to the men who is not too religious, because we don't want to be too religious in this thing, because we still fight some cultural stereotypes about men and faith. And so the first answer to your question is, if we're going to start a fellowship, what's required? Well, we need to know what the guys want and need who are willing to come. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is after you ask the why question and get an answer, is you have to begin to assess, so what are some of the cultural realities or the cultural parameters around this that that may get in the way of this being successful? And we've already covered some of these elements in previous podcasts, and one is competition. Is that, even in our culture today, I will not get very deep into the questions and concerns around my life with a group of other men if my trust level isn't off the charts with those men, because I don't know what they will do with the information I share. And it may create harm or put me at a disadvantage in all the places I have to compete in the world. And so that's the second piece is why. I mean, the first one is why. The second one is, so what can we do to make sure that we build trust and quickly, and it, to a degree that we can truly begin to address the issues that the men want to address, because they won't do it if the trust level isn't there. And then I do believe the third thing that has to be present is there has to be a mechanism, a curriculum, some format that facilitates and helps kind of take men by the hand and navigate them into those places where most men have never gone. And I think that's probably more reflective of my generation and older generations than maybe the younger men. But I still believe that there's a lot of places inside of us, inside of the masculine mindset, that's still relatively unexplored territory. And we don't really have a roadmap for both getting in and getting out of those places. And so I think that men's groups need to have a roadmap of some kind that helps them figure out how they get into those places of deeper concern, and also how to get out of those places of deeper concern. That seems to be an equally important concept. I was just became aware, you may know this group, we haven't talked about it, but I just became aware of a men's movement in the United Kingdom, in the UK, called Human, H-U-M-E-N. And I don't know whether this is something you're familiar with or not, Alex, but it was created by a guy. I think he's a psychotherapist by trade. His name is River Hawkins. And he had his own emotional crash experience where he was deeply depressed and kind of a really lost soul, was seeking help, and was essentially told by the system that, we can't help you unless you're suicidal. And he's going, surely there's got to be an in-between place for guys to do the work that prevents you getting into a suicidal mindset. And so with his skill sets, his training, he developed these open space areas. I don't know how it works. I've just read a few blurbs. So again, I'm not an expert on this, but it sounds like that there are groups that guys are invited into, and there is a design built in that helps the men explore these unexplored territories in a supportive, trusting environment. It's not religious in scope. So again, it's not a faith-based group. It's much more of a psychological journey for these guys. But he had a quote that I think is very apropos for our conversation, and certainly it fits in with the work that we're trying to do. And he said, I realized I was not the problem. Being a man is not the problem. Only those limiting scripts prescribing what it means to be a man, which damages men and belittles women, are a problem. You and I have talked about in all of our other podcasts, Realm of Influence, Competition, the Immature, Mature Masculine concepts, that at the core of all of those conversations is how do we overcome the scripts that we have culturally inherited, some of them even more refined through family inheritance and how we understand what it means to be a man in this world, that are causing so much damage, that are causing us to continue to belittle and harm women and children. So we have to find ways to overcome these damaging scripts that create shame and confusion and silence in, you know, among men in a huge fear of trying to address these ways and not even know where to go to look. That's all a part of what it means to be a man in the 21st century. In the 1950s, when the models of men's fellowship groups were developed that we have inherited and still seems to be the first thing that comes to people's mind when they talk about men's fellowships, that was such a different time. We have to remember that was before women started to enter into leadership roles of the church and in business and society and all places. That was before the equal rights movement really took hold. And so when the men came together, it was their world. There were no women to interfere. They knew the rules of engagement. Everything was laid out for them. Everybody understood what their role was. They would come in, they'd have the fellowship time, they'd pat each other on the back, they'd tell a few war stories, and they'd go home, you know, and that's all they needed. And then when we began to embrace the equality of women in all leadership capacities in the church and society, is all of a sudden men would come together and there would be women sitting in the room and no one told them what the rules of engagement were. We've never ever figured out what the new rules are when it's not a man-only environment. And so, right. And so that is reinforces shame, reinforces silence, reinforces all of those elements that we need to address to be whole. Because now there's an interloper in the room that we don't know what to do with. Is she wife? Is she, you know, and relationally, is it a wife? Is it a sister? Is it a mother? Who is she? And I don't know how to deal with this person. And we've never as a culture taken time to figure out what that means. We've just made assumptions about how we live and work together, male and female, in the Western culture. And so I think Hawkins is right, is that those scripts unraveled and left us confused and lost. And there's never been a roadmap put in its place that tells us how we live in an equal kind of world where we're all one, where we value the gifts and graces of all. And you know, we haven't even touched on, you know, the issues of race or poverty, you know, the wealth discrepancies and, you know, all that stuff is there. So here I am, you know, I'm taught that I'm supposed to compete in the world for the, you know, for all the goods and that the more goods I get, the better I am. And, you know, I'm more of a success if I've got, you know, nicer toys than anybody else. And a bigger house and nicer car and, you know, the latest and greatest golf clubs, et cetera. Well, those are all things that are that do nothing to develop the internal person. Those are all just, ornaments on a tree. And the tree is dying inside. And so part of men's fellowship groups today have to be designed in such a way that they answer the basic needs question that men have that you beautifully identified when we started the conversation. It has to be a place that builds trust, and it has to have a mechanism that understands how you begin to explore the roadmap of exploring those inner places that most of us have never gone and really scare the heck out of us at the thought of ever going there. And so by not going there, we feel shame. By wanting to go there, we feel shame. By talking about it with another guy, we're embarrassed that we have to have this conversation. You know, it's like Viagra. No one tells each other that they need Viagra, you know, as guys. That's why it comes as a little blue pill, you know, in a nondescript box, is because we're ashamed of being human. We're ashamed of being a man in the world because of these scripts that continue to dominate our lives. You and I have been working on resource, a roadmap for guys we call the Jesus Way, because you and I both believe, you know, at the core of our being, that Jesus is the model for us to follow, that helps us begin to write a new script, that helps us go to these places we need to go with God's help, the Spirit of God's help along the way, and the support and love of other men, that we truly believe we have a resource that can help men begin to make this journey.
And that is super critical. As you said, it is one of those opportunities for that both going into that deep area where we need to, we have almost a primal need to experience that depth of understanding. And it also built into the Jesus Way model is a coming back out. As you said, that is very important to be able to both get into the depths and then not stay there forever, but to step back out into an area where we can then reintegrate into our lives and integrate what we have learned while we're in the men's group, while we're in this learning environment with these other co-journers that are traveling with us. We can take what we learn there and bring it back into our lives and then step back in a week later, step back out, and continue to repeat that process of growing and learning and application.
It is. It's developmental in nature, and we all have to understand that. You know, it's not you don't take a pill or make one visit and you're done. That this is a commitment, a journey that one commits to make in discovering, you know, the authentic self God created each of us to be. And I do also want to point out something that you said that's equally important, and that is the fellowship and service dimension of this is always important. We have to have ways of living out what we are learning. And we need it to be reinforced in a supportive way by the men we're journeying with. And so having these fellowship opportunities that are more fun focused than developmental focused help reinforce the things we're learning, builds trust again among the men, and then giving back, you know, giving ourselves to some service project, whether it's a habitat build or going on a mission trip somewhere, working with kids, you know, there's whatever your particular forte is that we have to have a way that we work together to make a difference in the lives of the people around us, not just through the small group journeys we're making, but in how we learn to apply that to life. And we really need to learn that and have it reinforced by some of the guys going through the journey with us. So I really believe the fellowship and service component that your guys identified and you identified are equally important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is important. And a reminder that if a church like mine has an ongoing, even monthly men's meeting that is still primarily fellowship, that is still primarily get together, share a meal, tell war stories, whatever, that's a starting point. You know, it's where you are right now, and you can take steps from there to begin to introduce these ideas that we present in the Jesus Way. And begin to talk about those. And as those relationships then develop, you can begin that move from once every month on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning before church and begin to make that a more frequent meeting time so that you can more deeply engage the learnings that we're talking about. You can more deeply engage these ideas when you're dealing with them and thinking about them and growing more than once a month.
You absolutely can. And I want to make sure that I don't come across as generationally biased. I am, but not in an exclusive kind of way. My history with men's ministry, years ago when I first developed Fellowship of Carpenter Work, when it was being utilized, the stories that I got were quite humbling and moving. I can remember stories coming from the World War II generation, the Greatest Generation guys. And for the first time, I mean, I remember guys coming up to me and saying, thank you for this journey, because this is the first time I've ever been able to share with a group of men an experience I had in a foxhole in World War II. And so, what a disservice that we did to these great patriots of ours, who sacrificed so much during the Second World War. We treated them as builders. They came back and helped rebuild a society. But they had all these stories that they didn't know how to process or deal with that literally saved their lives, helped them through some of the most difficult moments, but some you and I will never know. And it was so gratifying to know that we provided those guys that space, because those guys had the same need too. It just was identified or not identified in a much different kind of a cultural time frame than what we live in today. And so all of us have those moments. All of us have those things that need attentive attention. And they will never be shared if it's not a safe space that encourages the sharing of those stories. And again, that's for me one of the key elements of small group men's ministries and congregations is to create the space for guys to share their stories, to ask their questions, to deal with their fears in a place, that peddles hope and promise. God, what a sounds like a perfect place to be having those conversations to me.
Exactly. And you were talking about the experience with Fellowship of Carpenters, how that really helped some of our veterans who were older. There is such a need right now for guys and gals. But specifically in men's ministry, guys who have been in conflict since. I think especially of our Vietnam vets who face a whole host of challenges and have since returning from war. Same is true in a different way from those who have returned from the various conflicts in the Middle East as well over the past several decades.
You are so true. You're so right. And we've essentially ignored them. We give it a diagnosis of PTSD, and then we say, okay, we've done our job. We told them what the problem is. So they have to figure out how to get over it, swing it on with life. And again, what an additional horrible disservice that we as a culture are doing, to these, I mean, they're great guys. They're giving their life for their country, and that's got to be honored and treasured for what it is. And to treat them, as if it's just another, a little sniffle that you get over, you just take the right pill or whatever, go to bed and rest for a couple of days, drink lots of fluids, and you'll be fine. That's not the way it works. And, I know there are churches who are doing some really fine work in that area, but I also know that you could probably count them on your hand. And, I don't know that we know how to do that, but I also know that there's training for us if we wanted to know how to serve men's needs. And I know that's something you and I want to build into our work through the Jesus Way and as a part of the larger Disciples Men ministries, is how do we care for the needs of all men that are within our capacity to care.
Right. One of the opportunities, and you and I have talked about this briefly before, and I think is going to show up hopefully in the moderately near future. We may be able to have an interview with a pastor that's a friend of mine who's doing some really important work in here in Southwest Missouri on the issue of moral injury. He has a Moral Injury Institute, and so doing some really good work dealing with some of those issues. And I think that, you know, anything like that, any opportunity we have, if you've got a community of faith, a church where there are a number of veterans, then certainly focusing in on the area of moral injury, that's something that may work really well for you. I don't have many veterans here at Marshfield, so we would focus probably on different activities, at least at the beginning, that are more in line with the experiences of the men here.
I was not aware of that resource, but absolutely. I hope that you are able to encourage this person to be a part of one of our podcasts. That's certainly an area that I need more information about and how to incorporate that in my own ministry. And so we certainly want to do that. And I also want to make sure that our listeners know we've been an all-men broadcast so far, podcast so far, and I guess that part of that's by design. But we are hoping to interview some of our clergy women colleagues to hear about their stories, their journeys, how their relationship with their male colleagues, with the men in their church, how that's influenced their ministries. Because I know they've got some stories that we don't want to hear that, you know, that add to our shame in one sense as men in the roles and in their journeys in ministry. But they're stories we need to hear to help us make sure those kinds of things are never perpetuated. And hopefully Pat Donahue, Reverend Pat Donahue is, you know, the director of Disciples Women for the Disciples. And I know Pat will graciously grant us time in the future for one of these podcasts. And so we'll hope to have Pat and some other clergy women journey with us in the podcast to come.
Yes, it'll be really exciting. To briefly touch back on that note about care for veterans, coming up this summer at Sessions 2020, which we always try to talk about because it's a big and important gathering of Disciples Men. We do hope that you'll be able to be there, but we're planning on having at least one workshop or one workshop twice, led by someone from the Wounded Warrior Project. So we are really looking forward to addressing some of those issues as we continue to go down this this road and offer that opportunity for you coming up this summer. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that registration for Sessions 2020 is now open, and that event will be July 10th through the 12th on the TCU campus. And you can find more information online at sessions.info/2020. So that's a great resource, and I hope you'll get signed up for that. Early bird registrations for Sessions go all the way through the 1st of May. So you still have a little bit of time to make sure you get in at that reduced registration cost.
I can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great event. I hope we got a lot of men who will take advantage of the opportunity of being together in Fort Worth.
Yes, I do too. I think it's going to be a great experience. Looking forward to it. Hope we'll see you all there. Greg, thanks again for your time today, for your wisdom and input, and for joining us on this podcast. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Alex. It's a great joy to make this journey with you, my friend. And so looking forward to catching up with everyone next time.
Our special thanks to our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Dean Phelps, for providing the special music of this podcast. You can discover more of Dean's music at deanphelpsmusic.com. And you can learn more about the ministry of Disciples Men on Facebook and through discipleshomemissions.org.